It is Thursday, the 2nd of February. This is episode 105 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome along. I'm Chris, I'm hosting today, but I'm joined as usual by Henry. Hello, Henry.
Hello, Chris.
And we've got Ian along for his great insights.
Seriously?
Yeah. That's what...
And witty interjections.
Ah, oh. You're just ripping the whatever now. Extracting the urine, I think is the posh way of saying it.
Is that right?
Okay. Yeah. If I was talking to Siri, I would have to say that.
Indeed. Let's get on with some news then. What's happened this week? Well, a big bit of news. We've had Facebook have filed their their intent to release shares, basically. I think they call it the IPO, initial public offering. And they're valuing themselves at 100 billion, or rather they're hoping the market will, because they're going to sell 5 billion worth of shares. Big numbers.
Big numbers.
Buying?
No.
Well, you know, we were just talking last week. Apple could buy that, couldn't they? They could buy them all the shares. With their
Does
cash
Apple
pile.
Want Facebook?
I got a feeling the shares will come out and I think they'll jump. See, if you've got some money, it's probably a good punt.
Yeah, for what, short term you're talking?
No, I think over the long piece. They've won, to me, they've won the identity war. I think Google's waning slightly. And I think Facebook's still got a lot of growth. So
they've got however many million users. There's, you know, probably not far off as many people as going to have the internet.
850 million.
And I think it's only about double that actually use the internet.
Yes.
So they've got a pretty good market share already. They're already, according to these figures that they've released, they are making a profit. But
they're making
do you
a profit.
Really think they've got growth in them?
Yeah, they're making a profit, and the profit has steadily increased over the last 4 years. But I think if you certainly a lot of the articles I read today, it showed that mobile, and the mobile side of things, things like adverts, they're just got nothing right now. And I think you're going to hear a lot more about Facebook credits over the next year or two. That is going to start to drive them. I mean, it's. If you look at their money, I guess the only worrying thing is it's all adverts apart from Zynga bringing in 12% of their kind of finances as well. And means
yeah, I mean, it was a really smart move for them to buy Zynga, actually. Definitely. Zynga makes most of their money through adverts and stuff too, so, you know.
And by copying other people's games.
Yes, and by getting people to buy the credits, isn't it?
It's cheap to buy. You get in there, all your friends play it, and then you're, it's just like a drug. You know, it's just like crack games that they build.
Yep.
Interesting things in some of their literature. So I quite like some of their mantras. So, you know, moving fast, be bold. Done is better than perfect. I quite like that one. What I do think, though, is that as soon as you have shareholders involved, all those things become less appealing to it. I think Mark Zuckerberg still owns the majority of Facebook. I don't see that lasting.
Well, I think
as soon as he goes, I think Facebook changes.
I think what's really clever is that he's managed to retain control, you know, and it's like that one voice, which you don't see in many other companies. You know, I'm not saying he's like Steve Jobs, although he is, I think, from 2 years' time, taking a dollar a year as his salary. He obviously wants to be, you know, known as that next Steve Jobs. But, I mean, for a guy his age to be owning that much money, you know, so basically if it is valued at 100 billion, he owns 28%. So,
yeah.
My maths tell me he's going to be pretty rich.
Yeah. 28 billion.
He's not going to be struggling to buy a round of beers for everyone, is he?
No, I think
for everyone.
There was some nice, there was some good. What you mean?
Absolutely everyone.
Everybody on Facebook. You can imagine that post like this free beer. there was some nice parallels about Google's IPO, which I think was 2004 or 2005, and how it made so many people millionaires and so many people left. And there was some chat about, you know, so many of the early employees, that first 250 or 500 that have. you know, being given share options, that those are the ones that almost overnight are potentially going to be millionaires. And what's the incentive? You know, unless you're bought into that culture, unless you're bought into Facebook, and you wonder how many key core people will start to move on.
Well,
I think you're right. I think Mark Zuckerberg is pretty key. He's also able to kind of inspire other people and sell the vision. So, you know, you get lots of other clever people coming in and able to to take things forward.
They're going to have enough money to buy in the talent anyway, aren't they? Basically.
Yeah. And going back to Chris's point, see the mantras, you can see that they've actually followed them, you know, pretty well over the last sort of 4 or 5 years. They've done controversial things. You know, they've changed how their product works, and it's been, you know, in the face of, like, you know, thousands and thousands of people saying we're going to stop using it and it's the wrong thing to do, but they have kept going with, this is our vision, this is how it will be.
Yep, they've called themselves hackers. They're saying hackers got a bad reputation recently, but actually hackers means just, yeah, building something quickly, testing, but, you know, just pushing.
Did you see the graffiti artist story? Did you see the graffiti? So this was, it was on New York Times. In their first office, they seemingly wanted this graffiti artist to paint, you know, some murals and pictures on the wall. And they gave him two options. You know, we'll pay you, I don't know, $20,000, $40,000 for all this, or we'll give you some share options. And the guy at the time was like, I don't really believe your company will go anywhere, but I'll take the share options. And they reckon the share options are worth $200 million.
That's one expensive mural.
And, well, they got great murals.
$200 million.
Yeah.
So I hope the picture didn't look like another picture, because otherwise in UK courts he would be in trouble right now. Basically, a court this week has ruled that because one photo was similar to another, even though they're very different, because they had similar artistic stylings, they were infringing on, I don't know if it's copyright or along those lines.
I just want to jump in before Henry rants, because as I said before the podcast, this is purely for Henry, this one. But it's ideal podcast material. The two photos are, you know, it's looking at the Houses of Parliament. There's a traditional red London bus. Everything else is black and white, but the bus is red. And it's taken from two different angles. And it's two different pictures, and the judge has ruled in favour, saying that this is an infringement on copyright.
It's utterly bonkers. I mean, it's just absolutely bonkers. It's crazy. I mean, this is absolutely nonsense. I mean, what are they going to do next? You know, I mean, I imagine a picture of, you know, it could be anything, and somebody, you know, you have an idea for a picture, and with Photoshop and stuff these days, it's like you're not supposed to be able to patent ideas and things. This is just absolutely nuts. I mean, no wonder they all get into all this bother. We had all the stuff with Sopa, Pippa and Acta last week and all this. No wonder we've got everybody up in arms about stuff when the UK courts come out with this kind of nonsense.
Well, the
I mean, this isn't America.
No,
right? This isn't the USA. This is the UK.
And there was a lot of US blogs saying how ridiculous, what an incredibly crazy decision. And the bit I don't get is, so yes, there's a style to this, that the bus has retained its colour and everything else is black and white. What if it had just been two black and white pictures?
If you look around, how many pictures are going to be of pretty much that exact angle?
Yeah.
I mean,
to be fair, this has happened for years. People have been doing this kind of style of pictures for years. I mean, one of my early hill walks, the guy I walk with, Danny, had a pair of red gloves. I made everything black and white and kept the gloves red. It's something that's been done for years about, you pick a colour out, everything else black and white. Yeah, that's a nice effect. And how somebody's got this to court and won is beyond me.
Yeah, that's exactly. You can argue any pictures based on other pictures before it, and you know, even accidental or even imitation, basically. Plenty of people take up styles of famous artists and stuff. Anyway, it does seem ridiculous. I'm sure there's a counter-argument, which is, you know, I'm sure there is one, but it does seem a bit ridiculous. At least the judge said he did have difficulty Unfortunately, he had difficulty and then came to the wrong decision.
Well, he had difficulties, but then he said it's not just another photograph of cliched London icons. And it is.
Yes, it is. You know, yes, it is.
There's a red bus and it's black and white picture of the House of Parliament.
He's wrong. He's just wrong. I mean, good grief. Where do we get these judges from? I mean, you know.
Our government being quite innovative with beta software. Basically, they've released gov.uk, so www.gov.uk. I think I might have had one too many dubs in there, but, you know, try it with three. The new site, that they've called it beta, and effectively it's going to be the one-stop shop that's going to replace DirectGov. Looks quite good. I've had a quick navigate around. They reckon they've had a full review of 667, that's very precise, needs that people have of government. And they've split them all down and put it in a nice looking wrapper. And it's available for people to navigate around. It does come with caveats that it says this isn't the source of accurate information. Still go to DirectGov. But one day, I guess, they'll bring it forward and make that the main site. Any of you used it?
Yes.
No. I didn't know I needed 600, the government for 667 things, actually. Actually, that makes paying my taxes all the more worthwhile. Now I know that there's 667 things I need the government for. Great. Thanks very much.
How empowered do you feel now?
I'm still on a rant about you know, nutters that we've got in the judiciary, but hang on, I think we need to step away from the judge. We need to have a time out here. Can we do a time out thing?
I tried the site and thought it was nice and clean. I did wonder if people would maybe get confused because it's what they've went for is almost like a Google type site. It doesn't present much information. You search for what you want to get to. The old DirectGov is, in some ways, it feels like a portal, you know, like an old Yahoo portal, when here's everything and you go and drive through it. But this is more about quick search, find information and send you on. I loved the way it looked. Thought it was really nice. And the two things, when you mentioned it was open, the source code for this is now on GitHub. So if you go to github.com/alphagov, it's all there. And it's the feedback mechanisms, you know, so they've set up a Git Satisfaction site and they're really encouraging people to feedback. And the difference is it's not just feedback and they're sifting through it, you know, behind closed doors. They've been very interactive. And so a lot of developers were actually, you know, discussing issues yesterday and asking people for more evidence and more use cases. And it's the same for Twitter and Facebook as well. You know, so really, really good to see. And the blog, they've got a really good blog. It took them through they use agile development. And they took them through some of the methodology they've used. Really, really, really refreshing.
The only bit I really didn't, and I haven't looked at, I didn't really understand why they'd made the source code open source. I mean, the source code of what? Their search algorithms or I don't know.
Just the all the different elements of the site. If I just fire it up, so there's a whole load of, you know, front end, all the kind of back end code, calendars. You know, and I'm just going down, you know,
might be worth having a trawl through that then, just to see what's in there.
No, I was just going to say it is a really good idea, isn't it? I mean, there's the government doing the right kind of thing using open source technology, which we keep saying that they should be doing for ages. So they're actually doing that and they're releasing it, releasing the source back. It really is a step in the right direction. Somebody somewhere is finally talking some sense to the government, which is good.
BBC iPlayer, my topic of choice, and ITV Player, though. They're coming to Sky Anytime Plus. So basically, Sky Anytime Plus is their kind of online demand content that currently is only available, I believe, to Sky customers, yet is going to go open to all by Easter. They're talking about Easter this year.
Yeah, so if you've got Sky broadband, you currently get Sky Anytime Plus, or you can get Sky Anytime Plus, but by Easter it'll be open to all broadband.
So I don't need iPlayer on the Xbox anymore then?
No. Well, you notice we're into February, and I'm pretty sure they said January we would be seeing some iPlayer. Yeah. Or, so they've been very careful. They keep on saying you'll see BBC content on Xbox.
Yes. Yeah, and they don't ever say iPlayer, do they?
There's something there. There's definitely something there.
unless they're doing that for the American market where they don't have the iPlayer, but they've got, you know, that cut down version. But anyway, they're going to miss, they've missed their opportunity now. You know, Sky are going to come along and they'll deliver up their own, you know.
This is this is a big move for Sky.
It is massive,
and a big move for BBC as well. So ITV Player is actually now available. So it became available the day after this announcement. And it also means that there's it's 5 million homes that Anytime Plus will be available to, and also iPlayer.
Look, it's an easy go-to. You're already watching the TV. You just, you know, everyone's got a box under their, you know, anyone that pretty much that's got Sky has got a box under the TV, and you just plug your cable in. Off you go. So, yeah, big, big move and clever move, because it stops people wanting to go and buy an Apple TV or, you know, that may or may not exist, and the Google TV and all that kind of nice jazz. Let's then put adverts out there. Clever. Sky News web TV service. So they're, another thing they kind of announced was that they're going to... they've had a service for a while, haven't they, where you, if you're a Sky subscriber, you can watch via your PC.
And they've done it via apps. So whether you do it... So Sky Go has been out for quite a while, and you can
watch... That's what I was thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, you can watch a lot of content either on your laptop, your PC, or your Mac, or iOS app, and I think it's coming to Android. It is an Android. I can't remember. But this is more... This is more... You look at me as if I just dismissed Android like a...
No, I'm like, looking at you like I should know that, and I actually don't. So.
Like a dirty stain in my shoe. But I do think it's a viable platform for those that aren't enlightened. This new web service is to try and get people that aren't currently subscribed to Sky. It's not been named. They will launch the first half of this year. But I guess the key thing is to try and get people, I think this is to fight more things like Netflix and Love Film. They're going to make Sky movies, Sky content, you know, things like Sky Atlantic. For a price, you'll be able to watch that content. So that'll be interesting to see what the price will be.
And let's see how they do it. Is it going to be a whole package, or can you pick and choose? Because if it's pick and choose, then it definitely is going against Netflix and services like that. If it's a package, then not necessarily so much. If it's kind of effectively, you know, Sky Go, whatever it's called. But, you know, just for people who aren't subscribers already, then it doesn't seem as appealing, because you're still buying stuff you don't want.
Yeah.
As well as the stuff
exactly.
You do.
And definitely the way things seem to be going, isn't it, is that you buy what you want, and the whole kind of idea of a TV network seems to be kind of... disappearing, really. You know, if you want to watch a particular program, then you don't really care where you get that from. At the moment, these things are kind of tied into Sky or some particular network. But if they weren't, then you could get them direct. So it's always an opportunity.
We should also point out to any youngsters that happen to listen to this that buying for content means handing over money.
Yeah, it means handing over cash. And not just the kiddies either. Virgin, sneaky Virgin. So they're nice free double the speed upgrade.
Which is free?
Which is, yeah, absolutely free. Is now going to come at a surcharge of about between...
No. You've got to separate them.
Yeah,
because clearly
they're completely different.
We're going to give you will be getting faster speeds. Free. Oh, by the way, there's a bit of a charge that we can increase.
No. You've got to separate them. So there's a free upgrade, and that's like a separate thing.
Full stop. Pause.
Yep.
You know, so new blog post.
So when you see Usain Bolt with his little dodgy goatee beard on, getting his cash before he fails at the Olympics, doing his little point and saying, "Like, here we go. Here's how fast you're going to be." That's separate to the price increases that are coming on April the 1st.
And totally, to be honest, we're making a big thing of this, but we're only talking £1.50 more and £2 more. And for the extra service, you can't really moan. And I guess that's what they're hoping that people are going to say.
It's the cheekiness.
It's the cheekiness. Yeah. It is the cheekiness because the what they're doing, of course, is that the price hikes are going to hit before any of the speed increases are, which is very clever. Because they said, oh yes, we're increasing everybody, we're doubling everybody's speeds. Okay, so they said that last month. And then you looked into the small print and nobody's getting an upgraded speed before April. okay, at the very earliest, and likely to be well into the summer or later in the year. But of course, these increases, price increases, are going to happen on the April 1st before anybody gets in.
But they're not related. They're not related. No,
they're not related at all. No,
more fillers.
These are not the price increases you were looking for.
Even picking April 1st, why didn't you pick the end of March?
yeah.
Somebody's having a laugh. Somebody at Virgin's sitting there going, ha ha ha.
Twitter announcing censorship. Previously they've censored tweets globally, but they've come forward and said, we're now going to censor things country by country, because they're saying, as we're expanding around the globe, we're coming across some countries that we just won't be able to exist in because of their restrictive freedoms. But other countries, there are certain freedoms that you know they have to operate within. And they give the example of in Germany and France, you can't put forward any pro-Nazi content. So now it looks like the rest of the world, we're going to be able to have pro-Nazi content, which is fabulous. But if you live in France and Germany, they're going to remove that. So they're censoring on a per country basis. They have said that they're going to make it very clear where they have removed and censored things, whereas up till now it's just sort of disappeared.
How?
So they are going to put
this tweet has been deleted.
I guess that's what they're going to have to do, isn't it?
If you want to read this tweet, please
move
to Spain.
It's going to be a redacted tweet. It's just going to be a black block.
I actually thought this was a really good move.
I don't think there's anything these companies can do.
But last Thursday, Friday, there was all this like Saturday, we must have like a Twitter, blockade or whatever. We don't tweet, so Saturday, nobody tweets. And it's like, shut up. This is really good. And they're also they're putting all their takedown notices on Chilling Effects. So Chilling Effects is a website run by the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and there's a few other universities involved with it as well. So on that website now, you can go and see all the different DMCA notices that Twitter received. Some crazy ones as well. And there was one from the UK because somebody was using a picture of a dragon as their Twitter picture. And you can see this other person's going after all these people using this Welsh dragon picture. It's like, you've got too much time in your hands. You're a crank. I think it's really good. Really good.
Do you think we might end up with, like you have got these kind of places for offshore bank accounts. Maybe we could have countries where you could have like kind of, offshore Twitter accounts.
Well, it'd have to be an offshore proxy, wouldn't it? So,
There we go. There's a business idea.
Wikipedia are talking to, is it Sealand it's called? Is that the right
name? Yeah.
Sealand.
Sealand is this...
The oil rig.
Yeah, it's called Sealand. So they're talking about hosting their servers from there.
Wow.
So that no government could take them down, but a wave... might take Wikipedia offline.
A wave, good. Yep. Yeah, it's definitely one of those things that it might not be around for much longer, that place.
I thought it was a really good step. I think the clarity is what we're looking for. And the thing is, if you're really upset about it, it's the laws in each country. None of these internet companies are going to change laws in any of these countries. They're not going to go to China and convince them. And I know a lot of people have linked this to, Twitter exploding in China now because they have got some control. There was a great post, and I've linked it in the show notes, just about the realities of running a global internet business. If a nation wants, they'll have a kill switch. It's nothing about killing a tweet. They will just take the internet down. So if a lot of these countries have got far bigger and more effective ways of controlling the internet than something like this.
Yep. Yeah, and I think the really good thing here is actually the transparency that it gives, because as you say, what they used to do is just, they would they'd block tweets and things, delete them, and not you wouldn't know about it. But if they've got a mechanism for actually you knowing that the stuff has been, that you can't view it for that particular reason, and you know that they're doing it, then that seems to be a step forward to me.
And also Twitter gave a kind of slight workaround. If you can change a country, within your Twitter account, so you can say I'm in Egypt, I am actually in England. And there are ways of working it. And
you mean lying?
No. couldn't possibly say that.
Being but
just before we came on air, Google announced the same for Blogger. So they have brought in similar technologies that can, instead of just being a global block that the whole world couldn't see it, they can now block by a country. Initially only in Australia, New Zealand and India, but BBC, when they posted this article, said that they believe it's going to roll out globally.
We've had another ridiculous Twitter story. Again, be careful what you tweet, folks. So a couple went over to the US, and just before they went, they tweeted that they were going to go and destroy America.
Now, let's put this in context. Free this week for a quick gossip prep before I go and destroy America.
There you go. They arrived in America to find themselves stopped and questioned for 12 hours related to their intent to destroy America. And then they weren't allowed in. This is ridiculous.
He also posted that he was going to dig up the grave of Marilyn Monroe, and he was questioned about what tools he was going to use to do that.
This is but I tell you what, it shows what people are reading on Twitter, doesn't it?
Echelon, obviously, has got its teeth into Twitter now. That, you know, Echelon's that. Top secret computer system that's supposed to monitor emails and all electronic communications.
So it picks up flags and, yeah.
allegedly, you know, nobody will tell you anything about it, obviously. But clearly it's picking things up on Twitter, too.
Every self-respecting terrorist tweets before they go and destroy America, you know. Wipe it off the map. Wipe it off the map. Let's not say that, shall we? In fact, we've been flagged. Damn.
Well, when I put this up in the show notes, we damn well better be flagged.
That's right. You'll never get into America now.
We all live in Glasgow. Apple have announced a new senior VP of retail.
They're clearly desperate. I mean, really desperate. How desperate do you have to be to what's the guy's name? Mr. Browett. He used to be Dixon's man. Dixon's.
You don't need the video to see that you're looking down your nose.
John Browett is from Dixon's. Unbelievable. And they say he was the best. We told them he was they've said, oh yeah, he was amazing. He was the best of everybody we've ever spoken to. He's going to be Apple's head of retail. He's replacing this guy, Ron Johnson, the guy that invented their Genius Bar. Well, I mean, it's probably just as well they're getting rid of him. I mean, Genius used to mean something before Apple took it over. I'm going on a rant again, aren't I? This guy's going to report directly to Tim Cook, and his background's from Dixon's. Dixon's.
And the bit I love was the US people twittering about it and just saying, oh yeah, we've got a new guy and Apple have got, you know, well respected and all that kind of nonsense. And then when the UK people woke up to it and were like, what?
What?
You'd kind of like to have been a fly on the wall in that interview, wouldn't you? Listening to the lines he was spinning.
Well, the thing was that I think Tim Cook came out and says everybody I've talked to, they said he was a man.
Maybe he is. Maybe the rest of Dixon's were.
But they talk to people backwards. In Microsoft, Google, you know, everyone at Apple's competitors. He's the man for you.
That's right. Yeah. You're looking. Oh dear. I can't.
I saw another story tonight, and it was like, you know, I think it was Wall Street Journal or something, and it was like, it was the shock of people in the UK because this guy was, you know, basically it was, you know, they kind of, you know, pile him high and sell him off and, you know, no customer service. And but people, like another tweet I saw was somebody that says, you know, I think you're all being a bit harsh. Have any of you ever visited a Dixon store in the last 5 years? The reply within 2 minutes, no, they're all shut down.
they're all online.
It's all Currys or PC World.
Yeah, Dixon's is a purely online operation now. And to be fair, it has got a lot better since it just went online, and you didn't have to deal with any, you know, dodgy 16-year-olds anything you asked about, they said, oh yeah, I've got one of them at home. A 16-year-old on the minimum wage that's got the latest TV, hi-fi, electronic gadget going.
Yeah. After the London riots, they probably all have now.
Well, I'll hold my hands up. 2 years ago, in fact, it was just over 2 years ago in Peterborough, the PC World had just been done up there, and it was really, really good. It was really well laid out. You could get hands-on things.
You even mentioned it on the podcast.
I even mentioned the podcast, and I've never been in one since. So I don't know if the other ones all changed. I know one of the ones near me in Glasgow was shut for a bit, and it did seemingly go over a makeover, but I've never been in.
PC Worlds.
I'll tell you something. Every time I go into a PC World, I'm the only person there. They've got these massive stores, and I think, who's buying any of this stuff? Because it's clearly not walking out the door when I'm in. It's like they've got more staff not doing anything, obviously, because there's no customers to speak to. But anyway, good.
You're
luck
on one tonight. It's awesome.
Good luck, Mr. Browett. He's on a roll. That's a big step up, that, and you know, but you can't kid all the people all the time. But you know, well, that's it, isn't it? You want to move to the States where nobody really has a clue, really. I thought Apple had a better
one other thing. How many stores spend as much as Apple do in their stores? So it'll be interesting to see with the all the marketing might and all the money they spend. I mean, I think the Glasgow one they spent was over £1 million just renovating it before launching. How many places would spend that?
No one else has got the money to do that.
It'll be interesting because seemingly he's a bit of an academic and stuff as well, and time will tell.
Minecraft. Minecraft has teamed up with Lego. Wicked. Someone better take me through this. This seems bizarre.
What is there to take through? There's a website that Lego run where people can submit ideas. Lots of people submitted Minecraft ideas, and they went, yeah, okay, we'll do that.
So they're letting you build a Lego kit that turns...
They're going to bring a kit out, and it'll all be Minecraft-y type objects, and I know what I'm buying for my desk at work.
Get some creepers going. Nice.
That sounds wrong in so many ways.
Right, and that's the end of the news for this week. Let's picks wise, we got pick from Ian today.
Yes, desperate pick. It's not really desperate, it's actually quite a good one. ShowYou is an app for, I think it is only iPad and iPhone. I think it's only iOS. There's also a web element to it as well. When it first came out, it was almost trying to be the Instapaper for video. So it was a way of picking up video from elsewhere and pulling it together in one place. Version 3 has come out today. Really, really nice update. You've got this really great grid view of videos. You can scroll around and it just refreshes all the video content. It's a lot more social, so it hooks up to Twitter and Facebook. So as your friends are linking to videos, and it just shows you the video. Instead of showing you a link and pressing on it, it just brings you all the video content. And they're also trying to categorize, you know, what the best videos are. So if you think, you know, like Flipboard and the way they're trying to pull together categories of best content, and this is doing the same for videos. So yeah.
How does it choose the grid then? Does it choose it from your friends, what they're posting, or where does it take?
So it's a mixture of social plus what they're recommending.
Okay.
So I see it a bit like what was that other video site that I recommended ages ago?
It's so good you're still using it.
Devour.
No, I'm Devour. Yeah. So I use what I tend to do with Devour is I'll kind of once a week I'll drop in and then just have a scan through the kind of the videos that they recommend. So yeah, ShowYou.
Nice. Thank you very much.
Very good.
Okay.
Very good.
That's the end of our podcast. If you would like to find out more, take a look at our new website, digitaloutbox.com. Talk to us, info@digitaloutbox.com. Twitter, Digital Outbox, and Skype, Digital Outbox. And if you would like to know more about Ian, he blogs. Where do you blog, Ian?
I blog at iand.net and I Twitter at Shweepa.
And Henry, what about, where can we grab you?
Grab me on Twitter as Talk Rhubarb.
And I am on Twitter as Cheesy UK. So that's it.
What about the blog?
It's just starting up. ChrisHutchinson.org.uk. It's back online.
Where we can find out all about Chris's attempts to be like, I don't know,
Stig. Yeah, better say Stig rather than Richard Hammond.
Yeah, American Stig.
Yes,
Captain Slow.
Yes, you can learn all about that. Anyway, yeah, chrishutchinson.org.uk, so have a look at that. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk at you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Right.